Our reading today is from John. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome to those who are watching by internet. You don't need to adjust your monitor. It's the suit. We are nearing the end of our series on the Holy Spirit. We're going to finish next week and focus on forgiveness. Today, our focus is a little bit different as we look for a final time at the section of John's Gospel where Jesus teaches his followers about the Holy Spirit. The heat this week, record heat in Indiana, made me think about going on vacations when I was a kid. Every summer, usually in July, our family would go to Myrtle Beach for a week. We would go from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, which was about a six-hour trip back in that time. And going through South Carolina in July, there's just nothing hotter. I mean, when people say, "Do I believe in hell?" I say, "Absolutely. I've been there." It's just unbearable. And we had this old station wagon. My parents, three kids, usually a dog, no air conditioning. And usually, at least one point in the trip, the car would overheat. This was a very old car, broke down frequently. So somewhere, and it just seemed like luck would have it, it would be in the middle of a very kind of remote area. We'd have to pull over. My dad would then have to go hike and find water to come back and pour into the radiator, cool the car down so we could keep going. Now, because the car was in this condition, my dad developed an amazing ability to hear the car make sounds no one else could hear. Sometime or another in the trip, he would demand total silence, cock his ear toward the dashboard, say, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that?" My mother would say, "I don't hear anything. You don't hear that rattle, that knocking noise, that hum?" Any of you have a parent who was like that? Could hear a car make noises nobody else could hear. Now, my dad did that because he knew that this was not a perfect automobile, and he was sensitive to things not being right. That's what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. God knows we are not perfect equipment. We have the potential for things to break down and not go right and as they should. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us be sensitive when things are not going right. Listen again to the passage we just heard where Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So today, we're thinking about the S word, sin. We don't like to talk about sin very much. Not many people do. It makes us feel bad. It's such a downer. Some people say, you know, I grew up in a church where every Sunday sin was preached so much, I would leave church feeling worse than when I came. So let's just not talk about it. 40 years ago, the famed psychiatrist Carl Menninger acknowledged this in his landmark book, Whatever Became of Sin? He said, today we don't talk about sin so much. We put it in terms of crime and the human condition. Now remember, this is a psychiatrist talking, not a preacher. He says the problem is that we put our issues in the human realm, as if we can take care of everything by the right medication or the right kind of therapy. But, he says, the problem lies deeper, and the answer lies beyond us. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, would agree. 250 years ago, Wesley talked about this thing called convicting grace. Convicting grace. He said that's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that convicts us about the truth about ourselves and our deep need for God. One of the things that made John Wesley hopping mad is when his preachers would say only what people wanted to hear. He would say that's not the aim of preaching. Preaching doesn't just please people. Preaching awakens the spirit. What did he mean by that? Through the act of preaching, Wesley believed that God's Holy Spirit awakens us to the truth about ourselves and our deep need for God. Imagine it worked like this. You went to the doctor for a regular checkup. You are feeling great. You expect the doctor to confirm that and send you on your way. But the doctor finds something that doesn't look right. The doctor runs more tests, comes back and says, just what I thought. You have something very serious going on. And if left untreated, it could be fatal. Now, if you heard that kind of news, you have an immediate decision to make, don't you? You can go by your feelings. I feel fine. This doctor's confused. I'm going about my business. Or you can say, if that's the truth, I better pay attention to it. The Holy Spirit is like a good doctor to help us understand things are not always well. Sometimes things are not as they should be. We're broken people. We need healing. We need to be awakened. That's what happened to the prodigal son in the story Jesus told. The prodigal son knew what he wanted. He wanted to be on his own. He wanted his inheritance. He wanted his father's valuables, but not his father's values. So he spent it all, wasted it, squandered it. Ended up so poor, he had to hire himself out feeding pigs. How humbling is that for a Jewish boy? But then there's this wonderful line in the scriptures. When he came to himself. When he came to himself, he thought of his father's house and he longed for home. With that simple story, Jesus paints a picture of what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a person to awaken us, to restore us to a right view of ourselves, to help us come to ourselves, and to give us a longing for something better. That is God's aim. Not just to make us feel bad, but to give us a desire for something more. Rodney King died recently. He was the African-American gentleman at the heart of an important issue 20 years ago in Los Angeles. He was beaten by LA police, and it was caught on video camera. The police officers were brought to trial, and an all-white jury acquitted them. When the verdict was announced, one of the worst race riots in U.S. history broke out in Los Angeles. At the end of it, 55 people were killed and over 2,300 injured. One of the worst injured, again, was captured on video camera by a news crew in a helicopter above. A man was in a truck that got stopped. He got pulled out of the cab of his truck and ruthlessly beaten. One of the men taking a brick and smashing it into his head. Miraculously, he survived. Back in April, the Indianapolis Star did a story on this and talked about where the three men who pulled that guy out of the cab are today. They were all caught. They were sent to jail. They're out now, or at least they were out from that sentence. And the ringleader of the group came to a place of tremendous remorse about what he did. He saw the wrong about it all. He apologized, and he went to the man who was beaten, and he asked for forgiveness. Today, that man is a successful businessman in Los Angeles. But the other two, as far as we know, never came to a point of acknowledging anything they did wrong. One of them went on to commit murder and is serving time in jail for that now, probably a life sentence. The other one was convicted of drug dealing, ended up being shot and killed in a nightclub in 2005. What a difference it is when you can acknowledge the truth about yourself and have your life be open to new and better possibilities. What a difference it is when we can say, the problem is not always out there. All of the racism of other people, the corruptness of the legal systems, the evil boss that we have to work for, the hateful family member or the neighbor that we have to tolerate, but when we can sometimes say, the problem is right here. The problem's in me. Things are not right inside. When we can allow God to do that, new possibilities can open up. What gets missed if our greatest need in the spiritual life is always to be made comfortable? What gets missed? What gets missed if every Sunday when we leave church, our greatest need is to have a new tune to go whistle for the week? What gets missed if we never allow God to disturb us and make us uncomfortable? We all need that sometimes. And we might neglect new possibilities if we don't allow God to unsettle us. In fact, you could say that when you feel unsettled, even times when you might even feel ashamed, that's not a sign of the absence of the Holy Spirit. That's a sign of the Holy Spirit being very present and at work in your life. When we get in trouble, it's when we never have those feelings and never have those thoughts. But when we allow God to unnerve us, that can be a sign of God hard at work. An evangelist named F.E. Marsh tells a story about preaching one time on conviction of sin. And after the message, a young man came up to him and he said, "Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Marsh. You made me feel terrible today." Dr. Marsh said, "Well, I can assure you that was not my intent. Would you tell me more?" He said, I'm a boat builder, and I work for a scoundrel of a man. I've tried to be kind. I've even tried to share my faith with him. I've invited him to church before, but he just scoffs and laughs it off. I've been building a boat on my own at home. And in my work, we use copper nails because underwater they don't rust. But they are so much more expensive. So I just started taking some extra copper nails from work to go build my boat at home. I excused it. I said, my boss will never even notice the few nails I take every day. And besides, I've earned it. I've worked for him overtime sometimes and not been paid. But then today I heard you preach. And what I felt like is I'm no better than anybody else. I'm a common thief. And I need to make it right. But that's my problem. If I go to him and admit what I've done, I am going to look like a hypocrite. I don't know what to do. And he walked off. A few weeks later, he came back smiling. He said to Dr. Marsh, "You know that copper nails thing? It's all okay now." Dr. Marsh said, you told your employer what you did?" He said, "I did. And I told him I felt miserable. I felt like a hypocrite." Do you know what he said? He looked at me and he said, "George, I always thought you were a hypocrite." But when you came to me and said you're willing to admit you had taken something like this, and not only that, you want to make restitution, there must be something in this Christianity thing. His greatest witness came out of his most miserable experience. As he was willing to let God unsettle him, God opened up new possibilities. That's why we celebrate communion. Maybe it's just a ritual sometimes. Maybe it just feels like going through the motions. But I bet there are times in your life, because I know there are times in mine, when I'm just so convicted of my unworthiness, my feeling that I don't deserve to be here. And then I discover grace all over again. It's not about my deserving. That's why God offers it. It's about my need. My need to be forgiven. My need to hear God say, "You've been made right again. Let me lead you now in a new direction with new possibilities." And so we receive again God's gift of grace. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how we need you. We are not perfect creatures. We make rattling, ticking, and knocking sounds sometimes. We go astray. We act unseemly. We speak hurtful words. There is all kinds of capability of behaviors in our lives that are not as we would like for them to be. But with you, there is forgiveness. So today, as we receive again the bread and the cup, may we allow your Holy Spirit to awaken us, to help us understand that the great need for hope in our lives is our need for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.